God is good. Say good morning to each and every one of you, to those I've already said it to, and to those I have not. I'm wishing, bidding a good morning. It's so good for us to be here today. You know, we're not here because, I often say this, we're not here because we're so good, but it's because God is good to us. And we need to likewise at least show a reasonable portion of goodness back to him. So with that said, let us take a moment and go to God in prayer. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank thee this morning. We thank thee because there is so much we need to say thank you for. For the morning time that rose from the night time on last night. For the sleeping and slumbering that we did on last night. For the protection you gave us on last night. And then you raised us up this new morning, a day that we shall never see again, and we've never seen it before. We're just so grateful and thankful, Lord, that you had love, mercy, grace, and compassion upon us. We're thankful. We're praying this morning for each and every member in this congregation. We're praying for their families. We're praying for our visitors this morning. We're praying for those who may have just stopped by today. We pray that they can spend time with us and get to know God and come back and see us again if it be your will, O Lord. Father, we thank you for the leaders in this congregation. We thank you for the brethren in this congregation. We thank you for all of those who fill the pews in this congregation. We just pray, O Lord, that if it be thy will, that you would continue to give us a reasonable portion of our health and our strength. We thank you for those who are back from their trips. We pray for those who are back from not being with us for a few Sundays. We thank you for those who are very well and those who are not as well. We just thank you, Father, and pray for those that are not as well that they may soon get better, if it be your will. We're praying this morning, Father, for those who may be on their way still, that if it be your will, you allow them to get here in safety and security. Father, we pray for those who are with us this morning in the Spirit, especially those who are with us in the Spirit, that they may continue to be with us in Spirit and be with us for our services as we try to teach in Spirit and truth. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, for everything you do, especially when you sent your Son Jesus to come to this dying world in order to save us by giving us an opportunity to the tree of life. We're just so thankful, O Heavenly Father. Father, we pray for the families that are represented today, not only here, but we pray for those who are not here and represented it as families. We just thank you, Father, for all you do for us. We thank you especially for Jesus when he went to the cross on our behalf, not on his behalf, but on our behalf. We're so thankful, O Lord. Father, we pray this morning, this prayer, that all may come to Jesus one day and that there be no more dissension among us in our churches as well. Thank you, Lord. Father in heaven, as we move on now into the rest of this service, we pray and ask you if we might be found favorable and acceptable in thy sight, then we pray that you will accept our worship this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The scripture was read for your hearing this morning from 1 Peter chapter 2, starting at verse 1. I shall reread it again for you. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. This morning we want to speak for a few minutes from saints may not always act saintly. Saints may not always act saintly. Saints are considered to be those who believe in God, trusting Him, and allow Him to be their personal Savior. There are ways that a saint should supposed to display him or herself. For example, we are supposed to walk worthy of the Lord, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, according to Colossians 1:10. Verse 12 takes the matter somewhat further, giving thanks unto the Father which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. God has given us salvation, which is offered free, unmerited, and unconditionally, the gift of God for all who will accept it. But sometimes some saints don't hold themselves up to the following saintly rules. And they, as we might say, they get beside themselves. Let us examine a few ways in which we sometimes do not act like Christian or saints. Some have malice. What is malice, you may ask? Malice is causing pain and suffering upon another person. It is usually associated with the idea of getting even with someone, and that is called vengeance and is unbecoming to a Christian. Our text speaks of laying aside all malice. Now, the broken down translation of that is to change clothes, which means to put off the old dirty clothes and put on clean clothes. When it comes to our attitude, that means we are to let go of whatever has caused us to be angry and caused us to have malice. Jesus talked about the revenge thing in Matthew chapter 5. Go with me to Matthew chapter 5, if you will. Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 through about verse number 47. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, it says, I got to get to 5 here. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Actually, I want verse 37 here. I didn't get myself confused this morning. But let your yes be yes and your no, no. No, for whatever is more than those is from the evil one. Verse number 38. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, now this is Christ speaking, but I tell you not to resist evil person, to resist an evil person. But whosoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and have take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whosoever compels you to go one mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. This I want you to notice, this part. It's talking about loving your enemies. You have heard it said that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, and do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He makes his sunrise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? not even the tax collectors do so. Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. So from that, we get that we're supposed to love our enemies. We're supposed to love those who cause us great spite, who have spite for us, and forget about the revenge thing, in other words. Some of us take to having thoughts when something bad happens to others. We take to having bad thoughts, yet the Bible is teaching against this such action. Watch Proverbs 24 and verse 17. Rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth. See, some of us, we like to smile, if you will, for lack of using the word laughter. We like to smile when bad things happen to people we don't like, or sometimes even the people we do like. We are to forgive others. Revenge will only hurt us, and it is not pretty to come across an angry and a vengeful Christian. Christians need to remember what the Bible teaches in Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do even so to them. In other words, treat others the way you want to be treated. Isn't that so? Doesn't that make sense? That's plain enough for all to see. Treat others the way you want to be treated. No one in their right mind would treat themselves badly. So why do we treat each other so badly sometimes? When malice enters the picture, the word, things change. When one tries to get even with another, the whole picture changes. That's not the Christian way, folks. We need to remember that God will take care of vengeance for us if we simply give the matter to him. Romans 12 and 19, the Bible says, vengeance is the Lord's. Saints are not always, saints are not to be filled, not to be full of guile. Some are filled with guile. Guile is deceit and deception. And deceives Christians. Christians should be honest in their affairs. Society shows us each and every day examples of dishonesty. Just look at how society shows us, seems to break the rule of the one about, you know, the one about honesty is the best policy. Everywhere you look today, you can see the deception in many ways today. People stealing from one another. People lying to one another. And it's usually over a few dollars. In our text today, we are told to lay aside guile and hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is claiming to be something that one is not. Do you remember when Jesus exposed the Pharisee and the scribes for pretending to be good when they were not? In Matthew 23, verses 13 and 14, he called them hypocrites who shut up the kingdom of heaven from men and don't go in yourself and neither allow them who are trying to get in from entering. Verse 14, you devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore you shall receive the greater damnation. We have some Christian folk that pretend to be believers until the rubber meets the road. When everything comes to the surface, the truth is revealed. They're so-called saints not acting saintly at all. Some are guilty of envy and evil speaking. This means they are upset, angry, disappointed, and jealousy at some time at someone else because maybe someone else was favored by others. Maybe someone else has received praises or money and you feel that it should have been yours. Sometimes it can be something as small as someone speaking nicely to others and not to you. Once again, the text tells us to lay aside or put off the old and put on the new. both envy and evil speaking, whether it be in the manner of gossip. Oh, and I got to talk about this for a moment. Christians who gossip and bear tales is not acting saintly. God spoke of it this way in Leviticus 19 in verse 16. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among the people. And beside that, when one is a gossiper, you can't trust them, because if they'll gossip to you, they will gossip about you. I think my grandmother said it best. She had an old saying that she used to use on tell me all the time. She said, if a dog will bring a bone, he will carry one. In other words, don't become a gossiper because you know someone that is a gossiper. How many wars have been started because of gossip? How many marriages have ended up in divorce court because of gossip? How many friendships have been broken up because of gossip? How many secrets have been revealed by a talebearer? Proverbs 11 and 13 says, a talebearer revealeth secrets. That's a description of what a talebearer will do. The improper use of the tongue can even do damage to the cause of Christ. James speaks of the tongue in James chapter 3 and verse number 6. He says, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. It is set on fire of hell. Verse 8 breaks it down even further. Verse 8 says, but the tongue can do many times. The tongue can no man tame. It is on an unruly and an evil full of deadly poison. You've got to learn, in other words, to control your tongue. You've got to learn to do something about that red rag that's in your mouth. You've got to learn, gossip is not becoming of a Christian. Gossip is not good for a Christian to share with others. And if you'll hear gossip, then you'll speak gossip. So once we get past this gossip thing, you know, once we can get past gossip, we can begin to have a solid foundation. If you want the church to grow, the worst thing in order for a church not to grow is if I come visit you and you tell me one thing and then I find out that that was not true, then I'm probably not coming back. So we need to get our facts straight, get our truths lined up, and let the gossip go. We need to be careful of how we speak, what we say, and to whom we say it about. We need to be careful, especially among our brothers and sisters. That little red rag that's in your mouth can cause great turmoil. It can cause trouble and cause a whole lot of damage, harm and trouble to others as well as to the speaker of the gossip. I want you to notice something for a moment. You ever see when you go into certain, well, I will say not certain, but into all, most of all of our congregation, there's usually a group that gets together. That group is going to know everything about everything. That group is going to be the ones that put all things together. They're going to solve all the church problems. They're going to fix everybody and make everybody right. And they're going to do everything right, and nothing ever will be wrong with them. That's the group to be aware of. That's the group to be wary of. That's the group that you probably don't want no part of, because that's the group that's going to cause you damage and cause trouble eventually. So when you think about gossip, when you go back to the text, verse 1 again, Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, and usually gossip is evil, because you're usually talking about something that's probably most of the time not even true. As newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is great, and God is gracious. Make no mistake about it. When I spoke a moment ago about the tongue causing wars because of gossip, causing trouble in marriages. In how many marriages, as I asked the question, have ended up in divorce court because of gossip? How many friendships have been broken up because of gossip? How many secrets have been revealed because of gossip? These things can tend to break up a family. If it'll break up a family, you know it'll try to break up the church. When I think about how gossip can break up people, you think about somebody spreading something that's not true about another person, and that gets back to a spouse, and then a spouse take issue with it, and now you got two people who perhaps used to be friends, now they've become enemies with one another. Gossip just is not the right way to be. Evil speaking, when you say something that you shouldn't be saying, and you're saying it about people you shouldn't be saying it about, that's gossip. Let us try to act more like saints. Use the tongue to promote peace, harmony, love, and further the cause of Christ. You know, we do a picnic every year here. No, we don't go to the park. We go right out in the back behind the church. And when I think about it, do you know that how much we... why? Well, first of all, do you know why we do it? We do it to promote the cause of Christ. We do it so that our neighbors in the neighborhood and people coming by can see that we are a loving church. We'll offer you a meal if you care to join us. We'll offer you to sit down and break bread with us, in other words. And when you sit down and break bread with us on this picnic, there shouldn't be any gossip. But oh, I know that there is. There shouldn't be any gossip and evil speaking of one another. Because this, even though it's a fun part of the worship of our serving Christ, it's good to have this time with the Lord. It's good to have this time with our fellow brothers and sisters. That's what I'm getting to, in other words. And if you're gossiping, you're not saying anything good about the church. So when I ask the question, if I was to give a test and go back and say, what did you learn from our picnic? Somebody might say, I learned that sister and brother so-and-so got a little thing going on. Now, if that's all you learned about Christ or about the church from the picnic, you were at the wrong picnic and you were listening to the wrong person. Because the church's picnic is to promote harmony among one another, promote harmony with the neighborhood, and to let it be known that Christ is alive and well, and he dwells in this church of Christ here. Now, when I think about it even more, I think about how many people that we know of that we can say gossip or gossipers. Now, I don't want anyone to point any finger at anybody and hunt your neighbor and say, are you talking about you now? Because he's not. He's just asking a question. He's being, if you will, hypothetical. But at the same time, If you're guilty, I guess I am talking to you. But then what I want you to know is that being a gossiper is not a good thing. Evil speaking about others is not a good thing at all. Evil speaking about your brother and your sister is not the way you want to serve Christ. And when you ask yourself this question on each and every time you come to the picnic, when you leave the picnic, I should say, did I say something that was Christian-like? Or did I say something that I don't really have all my facts together? I just heard it from somebody else who told me somebody else told them. So what I'm saying to you this morning is don't put away all that evil speaking. Put away that guile that you've found in you, and become a good Christian. Act saintly. As a saint, you're supposed to act saintly. Acting saintly means that you don't let these bad things come out of your mouth. And I know that some of us like to use bad words from time to time. You never want to use a bad word around another Christian. But I know some of you let out a few words every now and then. And that's in your own secret spot, but not around another Christian. You see, first of all, you don't know how weak that person you're talking to may be. And you may just push them over the edge to the other side by your weakness at that moment. So be careful how you speak. Be careful what you speak. And most of all, learn to promote Christ more than promoting yourself. When it comes to causing turmoil, trouble, and a whole lot of damage, evil speaking and gossip will do just that. When I go back to the text, I read number one all over again, and I keep going back there because there's the message right there. It says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and evil speaking, and all evil speaking. Put it to the side. Let it go. Get rid of it. Push it back. You know, if our vocabulary was made of evil speaking and all evil speaking, if our vocabulary was made up of envy and evil speaking, some of us would have a beautiful vocabulary. But it's not. We're supposed to lay that aside. We're supposed to let that go. We're supposed to think on things that are honest and pure. That's the way God wants us to think, and that's the way God would have a Christian or a saint to act. When I consider this matter as a whole, I know that God would be pleased with us if we all spoke good things about one another. God is not pleased when we speak evil things about one another. You know, and I could stand here and I could say something evil about somebody in this audience or everybody in this audience. But what good is it? What good is it for me to cause disturbances and break the peace? What good is it for me to talk about someone when I'm supposed to be talking to someone? What good would it do if I revealed somebody's secret to you? It was given to me in secret and then I reveal it to you. That's not good. What good would it do if I told you what somebody told me and then I repeat it to the next person? And you know, when you start something at the back door, if it's a lie, by the time it gets to the front, it's not going to sound the same anyway. So be careful of what you speak, how you speak, and what you're speaking about until you got the facts right. Now, if you're telling the truth about somebody, somebody got sick, and I don't know about it, then that's fine. But to speak evil about me because you don't like the kind of shoes I wore, or you don't like the socks I had on, or whatever. You know, it doesn't take much to push a person over the edge to talk about you these days. They can talk about you simply because you wore purple socks when you should have had on black socks. But that's none of your business. Maybe that was all I had. But nevertheless, when you consider the fact that God is good to all of us, we ought to try to be just as good to God as He is to us. Now, it's impossible for us to give God back. All He wants from us is just a few words of kindness and our trust in Him, our love for Him. But when you talk about others, you're not showing that love. It's not coming out. It's not being pushed to the limits that God wants us to push it to. You know, everybody can say something good about somebody here this morning. Even if you think they're all bad, there's something good about them. The fact that they're here in the church with you might be a good thing. If they're here for spirit and to worship God in spirit and in truth, that's a good thing. But I don't like the way they dress is not a good thing. If you don't like the way they dress, go buy them something new. If you don't like the shoes that they're wearing, give them a new pair of shoes. And then tell them how good God was to you, so you're being good to them in return. You're passing it on. See, you can always do something good for somebody, but a lot of us like to do evil things to others. Speaking evil of them. You know, if you can't, the old saying, if you can't say something good about somebody, it said don't say anything about them. And I agree with that. Now, don't think that I don't have faults of my own, that I may say something every so often about somebody, because I will and I do, and I know this. But I try not to broadcast it to others, because I don't know if it's right or wrong when I come up with it, unless I've been assured that this is the truth and this is the way it ought to be. Now, what would I look like if I try to come between a husband and a wife because I don't like the husband or I don't like the wife and I don't think they ought to be together? That's none of your business. If you don't like me, take it out on me, but don't take it out on my family. If I don't like you, I shouldn't take it out on you, on your family. I should take it out on you. I should sit down and let's work this thing out. But to go around and spread rumors, that's evil speaking. To carry something from the front of this church to the back of the church and then don't have it the same when it gets back there, that's wrong. So lay aside all of that. All of that, lay it aside. In other words, put off the old that you got on and put on the new. And when you do, I can almost guarantee you that you're going to feel better about yourself and about that other person too. You know why? Because you've probably righted a wrong. When you get it straight, lay it aside. Get rid of that old and put on the new. Get rid of the dirty clothes and put on the clean clothes, in other words. I just want to say something. I got a minute or two. I just want to say this one thing before I take my seat. Every one of us in here has a past. None of us in here are without a past. And what you did in your past If you've changed, then it ought to be left in the past. And what do I look like bringing up your past because I know about your past to try to mess up your presence? So what are you saying, preacher? I'm simply saying this. Learn to temper your words and your thoughts that you may get it right. Now, I don't know if there's anybody in here or not that's guilty of this. But if you are guilty of this, you need to ask for forgiveness and get it together and get it going in the right direction. Nothing is more misguided than a lie. A lie can be misguided from when it leaves your mouth to when it gets to where it's supposed to, where you sent it to. It can be misguided. And it might not get to me. If you're trying to give it to me, it might get to somebody else first. And then, oh, there it goes, World War III. Yes. But the one thing I want you to know is that if you lay it aside, ask God to forgive you for getting it wrong, and that you want to get it right, God can help us. God is able, he's willing and he's able to help us. He can make the old you into a new you. But you must go to him and ask him to fix me. Fix me, Lord, that I may become a new creature. If that's your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation, before you do, let me issue the invitation. You come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. If you've already taken those steps, but you've fallen back, you need to ask God to forgive you and then come forward, ask the church to pray for you, that you may gather strength to continue on in the right way.